today.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. RiftAccounting.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
JobsInKent.com. Looking for fast, reliable web hosting? Or maybe streaming your own station's content? Then look no further and head over to all the W's simplecast.co.uk. Easy web streaming. That's all the W's simplecast.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. Channel Radio. Is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 2nd of June, as we enter week 11 of lockdown. And to be fair, they're starting to ease up on the lockdown restrictions. A lot of people returning to work in certain industries and certain sectors, which is good to see. Obviously, we need to keep infection rates down and hopefully death rates down, but they are going in the right direction. So we're getting there. We're getting there slowly. And we're trying to concentrate on positive things here on the show again this week. We have a new show sponsor. This show is sponsored by Colin Batt Removals, your award-winning removals and storage specialists. Whether you need to move house, offices, whether you need temporary storage for a renovation or need regular storage for stock, they have a solution for you. For more information, visit their website, which is www.colinbattremovals.co.uk. That's Colin Batt with a double T, B-A-double T, colinbattremovals.co.uk. Or you can call Emily on 01233 470395. That's calling Emily on Ashford 01233 740395. A huge thank you to the folks at Colin Batt Removals for supporting the Business Bunker show. We've got a packed lineup for you again today. We'd love to hear from you, though, the listeners out there, and you can get in touch with us. And the easiest way to do that is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. We've had loads of tweets already, which is lovely. I want to read the first tweet I got in was from the lovely folks, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks, and they say, we've got the Tuesday vibes, and that means one thing. It's the Business Bunker radio show, and they're on air today, keeping us updated with news in Kent for small business owners and transition back to new normal. Have a great show, and we're looking forward to catching up. Well, thank you very much, guys. We're looking forward to catching up with you too. It's going to be nice to see everybody again after all this time. I want to say a huge shout out to everybody that took part last night in the Stay at Home Sleep Out. It was a big national event organized on behalf of the homeless, where lots of people were going to go and sleep out at the London Stadium, I believe, but of course, because of social distancing and the lockdown, they can't. So everybody slept out at home by sleeping out in their gardens and sheds and stuff like that. And I happen to know that the lovely Lisa Settle did that, and although she was woken by a few strange animals during the night, so she's probably having a little snooze about now. But well done to Lisa, to Keith Mabber, and all the other folks that participated in Stay at Home Sleep Out last night. Fantastic effort, well done, raising lots of money for homeless charities and homeless people. What else have we got? We've got lots of tweets coming in, and which is lovely to see, and do keep them coming in. Hammond's Accountants say hi, Vanilla Web Business Bunker Show, happy Tuesday. Yeah, thank you. Happy Tuesday to you too. What else have we got here? Okay. Here we go. Athel Bray, really grateful to the Business Bunker for keeping things going during the last few weeks. We'll have to catch up later as we're heading out for some exercise this afternoon, but thankfully starting to see some dates coming back in the diary for training, so hopefully new shoots appearing. Yeah, I'm hearing this a bit more now. People are starting to pick up inquiries about work and the odd job here and there and stuff, which is really great. And hopefully we can get back on schedule fairly soon. I've had a press release from Paul Burgess, and it's about Insight Photography. And it's called The Show Must Go On. Photography students beat the virus with a virtual year-end exhibition and help for a mental health charity. So instead of cancelling this their year-end exhibition scheduled for a well-known London gallery because of the lockdown, West Kent College final year BA photography students have moved their end-of-year degree show onto the cloud. It's a virtual exhibition and it runs from today, the 2nd of June, until the 9th of June, and opens with a private viewing webinar at 7 p.m. this evening, Tuesday the 2nd of June. Paul Burgess, who's a third-year student, said, "We booked our degree show at the Four Corners Gallery in London, and then the COVID-19 lockdown came along. As this is the last opportunity that we get to show our final year work in public as a group, it was extremely important to each of us that the show went ahead. As our course had to move online, we were looking for an online solution when we came across the Exhibit.com, a cloud-based virtual gallery solution from a small company in New Zealand. Exhibit.com allows us to create our own online gallery, curate and hang our work in the same way as in a live exhibition, and enables visitors to walk around the show and view the work interactively." Wow. "It has the added benefit that we can show our work to an almost unlimited number of people globally. The Insight Photography Exhibition webinar will be held from 7 p.m. tonight, Tuesday the 2nd of June. If you want to register to attend, if you go to https://app.squarespacesscheduling.com. So that's https://app.squarespacesscheduling.com to check it out. And they normally charge ticket prices for this to cover the costs of staging it, but because they have very few costs to stage a virtual event, any money they raise will be donated to West Kent Mind charity. So fantastic. Do check that out. A photography exhibition running for the next week. Okay. A new promotional campaign has been revealed at the former Debenhams site as part of Folkestone Town Centre regeneration plans. The first panels of a 34-window campaign to promote Folkestone have been revealed on the windows of the former Debenhams store at 48 to 66 Sandgate Road in Folkestone. The vinyl window wraps showcase a selection of the district's landmark places to visit, its history and heritage, and feature prominent local businesses. The display also features a map to key locations in the town. A Folkestone Hive District Council completed the purchase of the former Debenhams store, the site, earlier this month. The new campaign is the result of a collaboration between local businesses, led by the Folkestone Independent Regeneration Retail Group, under the myfolkestone.co.uk brand. And Councillor David Monk, who's the leader of Folkestone and Hive District Council, said, "We're committed to Folkestone continued regeneration, and our recent purchase of this building underlines this. We consider the site to be central to the town centre's future, and that's why we completed on the acquisition in spite of the global pandemic. The empty window space is an opportunity to improve the aesthetic of the town centre while new plans are developed. Some of our local traders have been able to operate safely during lockdown, and as more shops started opening in the coming weeks, encouraging people to use the town centre is more important now than ever. We're working with local organisations, businesses and individuals on a range of measures to improve the whole town centre experience, and we'll build confidence in using the town centre as the lockdown measures ease." So fantastic stuff going on there in Folkestone, starting to make use of their recently acquired former Debenhams site. Right. I just had a quick slurp of coffee. Colin Bat Removals have tweeted in reply to Jules. Jules asked them on Twitter about removals business and house moving picking up, and they said, "Yes, we are back at work with new PPE and COVID-19 protocols to protect our staff and customers. Green shoots for the housing market. Our store is also open if we can help anyone or businesses with shortages of space." I've also had a tweet from Alex Waterton. He said, "Please can you do a shout out this event? It's 5 1-hour online training sessions, £110 per person. and it's on Microsoft Office 365, and there are modules on Excel, Word, Teams, Outlook and Forms. 1 hour per session over 5 days, covering tips, tricks and best practice. If you want to find out more, and Alex, by the way, is a fully Microsoft certified trainer in those products. If you want to find out more, you can email Alex at info@f-keys.co.uk. That's info@f-keys.co.uk, or you can call him on Medway 01634 512 345. That's Medway 01634 512 345. So what else have we got here? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read another email. This is from Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce. Join Chamber member Alex Ramsden from Web Motivation to find out how to unlock the insights of SEO, especially in these alternative times. Intriguing knowledge surrounding the world of search engine optimization on what you can be doing to gain the skills to help you and your business be in a stronger position now and, of course, when our lives start to return to normal. Motivational insights into what makes an SEO-friendly website and the art of encouraging more people to connect with your website enthusiastically. Understanding how to really play with a Google monster, SEO, and profitably driving traffic to your website. It's an online event taking place on Thursday the 4th of June at 10:30, and you can register via eventbrite.co.uk/workshop-with-web-motivation. So eventbrite.co.uk/workshop-with-web-motivation. I think we'll have some cheesy tunage and then we'll get our first guest on the phone and chat to him. Let's have a listen to this.
Up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Impossible to fail when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way. Then I look at you and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. I just want to look at you, and I know it's gonna be. Yeah.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Bit of a lovely day there from the recently departed Mr. Bill Withers. I'm now joined on the phone, hopefully, by Paul Williamson of Realia Marketing. Paul, good morning, good afternoon, hello.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, very good, very good. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's always a pleasure. You haven't been on for quite a long time, I don't think. Quite a long time ago that you were last on, I believe.
I think the last time we spoke was when we won the Creative Award at the Ashford Awards.
That's it, yeah. Mind you, that's...
Whenever that was.
It's always difficult to remember because you guys win so many awards. and quite rightly too, it's very well deserved. Why don't you just tell the listeners that don't know a little bit about Realia and what it is you do first?
Sure. So Realia was celebrated its 15th anniversary just a couple of days ago. And we are a technical B2B marketing agency. Our value proposition really is about taking complex messages and making them clear and simple for people to understand. And we work primarily in very technical businesses like pharmaceutical, insurance and construction.
Cool. Okay. Now, I mean, one of the things that we want to talk about is obviously we're in week 11 of lockdown now. An awful lot of businesses have been shut down. Not all of them, because there are some businesses that have worked through this, but a huge number of businesses. I think there are something like 9 million people furloughed now. Of course, one of the problems is when your business starts to hit problems like this, one of the first things that people start to cut is their marketing budget. Yeah, and that's not always an incredibly wise thing to do. So I wanted to talk to you, Paul, about the efficacy of marketing. It's not easy to say, is it? Of marketing, even when things are going wrong in the way that they are now. So I'd like to get your thoughts on why it's imperative that we keep doing it.
Yeah, I think, you know, marketing has always been one of the first to suffer and the last to recover in any kind of financial crisis. Mm. And certainly, you know, there was a nervousness for us. We lost about 15% of our revenue within days.
Yeah.
And my view was that we either kind of held onto a bit of lumpwood and hoped that this wave crashed over us and we survived, or we stood up and did something about it. So, you know, me being the personality I am, stood up and fought, and we worked really hard at this thing we've called Project Indispensable, which was about demonstrating more and more value to our clients, trying to become indispensable, and that requires you to work harder. It requires you to be more innovative and to not lose sight of the fact that the strategy is in place for a good reason. It, you know, this doesn't make the strategy bad. It may just mean that the tactics need to change somewhat. And I think the big thing we've done is, you know, we've worked really hard at demonstrating value, getting things 80% right, but getting them done fast. Mm. And I think for me, that resilience of thought is something that that isn't just for marketing agencies. I think that transcends all business. Mm. And the reality is that, you know, in times like this, people are looking for leaders and they're looking for answers. Mm. And this probably is your time to shine, actually, because there's going to be silence. And people don't like silence. So, you know, grab the opportunity to say something meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right about showing leadership. A lot of these things come down to confidence as much as anything else, don't they? And if somebody steps up to the plate and says, look, this isn't going to be as bad as we think it's going to be, you know, we could get out of this, we could do this, this is how we're going to do it, then it makes other people feel better and kind of join in with that recovery.
I think so. I mean, the rhetoric's been about, you know, the new norm and people having to pivot and you know, putting out those rather crass ads that tell everyone that we're here for them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, an understandable response, but the reality is that nobody needs to pivot. If the strategy's right and your cash flow's right and you've built some resilience in your business irrespective,
yeah,
then there's no real need for you to pivot. What you need to do is just work harder at what you're brilliant at. And I think too many people have taken that opportunity. Big brands have taken that opportunity to fill the nothingness, you know.
I couldn't agree more. And as you said, or you implied, without being too critical, but I can be more critical, you see lots of people putting out the same messages, you know, I'm here to help and da-da-da-da-da, which is great, but, you know,
precisely right, you know, and you look at some of these ads. I mean, somebody's put a wonderful montage together of all the big brand ads, but for me, they're a bit like that awkward moment when you hear someone's died. You know, you feel the need to say something, but you're not quite sure what to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
You fill it full of platitude.
Yeah.
And what people need right now, you know, is somebody that they can stand behind, a thought they can stand behind, that's resilient and robust and meaningful and practical, and get stuff done. And I think, you know, we can prevaricate forever. The reality is you need to kind of get stuck in, get your hands dirty, and like I say, get it 80% right and get it done fast.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw this morning, Andrew Neil, BBC TV presenter, who's also the chairman of the Spectator magazine, has announced that they're returning their furlough money to the government.
Right.
And they basically, he just put out a statement and said, look, we claimed the furlough money up front because we expected to get really badly hit. But we weren't. You know, he said we had a small dip, but nothing major, so we're going to send the money back. I thought, wow, well, that's a pretty powerful statement, really, isn't it?
That says, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we were really fortunate. We haven't had to furlough anyone. In actual fact, we're recruiting right now.
Cool.
And that's driven by that determination to add a ton of value over and above what we were doing ordinarily.
Yeah.
I think the other message that I would convey to people is you know, don't hide, because they will find you on the balance sheet. They will find you on the profit and loss account.
Yeah.
Actually, this is your opportunity to shine. This is your opportunity to be able to demonstrate some creative intelligence and make things happen.
Yeah, sure. How have you found doing business, though, and you've obviously been busy? One of the things I found is it's really hard to get a hold of people because lots of people are furloughed. How have you found that in terms of dealing with clients?
In a really bizarre way, it's actually made our relationships much more intimate. You know, you normally meet and greet people in an office environment, and there's a stern handshake and a cup of coffee, and you get down to business.
Yeah.
You know, right now, actually, I'm seeing people's kitchens and bedrooms and dining rooms, and they've welcomed you into their home, which wouldn't ordinarily happen. So sure. there's certainly an intimacy, I think, in the relationship that's changed somewhat. I think that actually we haven't had problems getting hold of people. In actual fact, it's been the opposite problem of trying to schedule enough Zoom calls, enough hours in the day to get all the Zoom calls done.
That's true. Yesterday, it seems like a lifetime ago, I had so many Zoom meetings scheduled that they were running one into the other, and I'm saying, I've got to go, I've got another one. And we're all intimate with each other's pyjamas.
You'll be delighted to hear that I am fully dressed, even though we are on the radio.
I won't tell you what I'm wearing.
Please do.
So it's really good to hear, Paul, what you're saying and the things that you're seeing. Any thoughts for those businesses that maybe aren't so adept at marketing normally, who are going to have to kind of up their game with this? Any tips or advice that you could give them of where to start looking to improve their marketing or even do some marketing?
Sure. In actual fact, if I may, I'll refer you to a Facebook Live post that I did last week with the Creative Foundation, Creative Folkestone, and the Southeast Creatives Group. So if you go onto the Creative Folkestone webpage, Facebook page, you'll see it on there. And I sort of spoke for 15 minutes or so on the things that people can do.
Fantastic.
I think some of it is going back to what you know and saying, what is our value proposition? Why is it that we started this business in the first place? And what makes us compelling for people? And don't lose sight of that. Be clear about what your value is. I think the other thing is to think creatively and don't just follow the norm. You know, there's a real move at the moment, to understandably to move towards sort of free for channels like social media.
Yep.
But because everyone's doing the same, you know, you really do have to find a way to cut through all of the noise and
sure.
and make your offer much more compelling. So I think that's certainly one of the first things. Understand your value, realize your value, and then communicate your value effectively.
Fantastic.
And then there's a bunch of channels that you can do. Well, I found this quote just before you let me go. I found this quote earlier in the week, and for me, it says everything about where we need to be right now. And it's by a guy called Albert Camus, who's a, yep. a French philosopher, and yep. he said, "Where there is no hope, it's incumbent on us to invent it."
Well, okay.
And I think for me, that's genuinely, genuinely powerful. You know, there are a lot of people struggling right now, but don't lose hope and continue with that resilient mind, because if you have that, people will follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Paul. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for leaving us with a really powerful quote. Do everyone please check out the, was it Creative Folkestone?
It's Creative Folkestone for Facebook page.
Yeah, do check that out.
And where you can, of posts.
Yeah, Creative Folkestone on Facebook. Check that out. Have a listen to Paul on there. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a quick shout out for your website as well.
Absolutely. So it's realia.co.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep on keeping on. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Stay safe,
thanks,
and we'll talk to you again
soon.
Take
care.
Cheers,
thanks,
Sam.
Paul.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
Paul Williamson there of Realia. Some really good advice, and a powerful thing to leave us thinking about is creating our own hope, creating our own positivity, talking about things positively. One of the problems is, quite understandably, there's been a lot of negativity, most of it led by the appalling media in this country. And that is not helping anyone. It's not going to help anyone get through this. It's not going to help anyone recover by continually beating up on everyone about what's going wrong. What we need is solutions, not problems. And the more we can come up with solutions, the more we can come up with positivity, the better we will all be for that. So thank you, Paul, for that. We got some other interesting things we're going to do in a moment, but I want to catch up with a couple of tweets I've had. The lovely folks at Diamond Circle Weddings, they say, it's Tuesday Motivation with Business Bunker Show, Vanilla Web. When DC Squirrel, that's Paul Manville, was on the show, I tried to explain to Bird on a Bike what we did, and they've sent a picture of what they actually did to the Broom Park Hotel, which is lit it up in gorgeous colours, romantic colours, with a huge love sign outside. So do check them out on Twitter. It's their Twitter handle is DC Weddings UK, and see what they did there. I've also had a tweet from Tabat official, Tracy Ann Barker, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, for the CSR, that's Corporate Social Responsibility, virtual event on the 11th of June. All the profits going to the Friends of Wisdom Hospice and We Are Beams. We Are Beams are a charity in Hextable. Two Kent-based charities, even in these difficult times, social responsibility can benefit your business. Why don't you come along? To find out all about that, give them a follow on the Twitter. It's TABA_official, TABA_official. Do check them out and give them a follow. And they go on to say, have a fabulous show today, Vanilla Web. Hope you're all staying safe and well. Well, thank you, Tracy Ann. Yeah, we are trying to hang in there and do what we can. I hope Alex Waterston has been on. Many thanks, Paul, for much appreciate your great work as always. Venetech are having problem listening in. If you don't know how to tell you this, if you can't listen in, but if you go to Biz Radio, that's definitely working, because I've got loads of people telling me it is. So bizradio.co.uk is your best route if you're having problems still. Lisa has said, still awake and tuned into the Business Bunker Show. Thank you for a fabulous shout out. Spending the day with a coffee pot, hashtag tired, hashtag stay at home, sleep out. No, tremendous. Well done, Lisa. I was going to join you in that, but things conspired to stop me being able to do that. But fantastic. And you must tell us all the stories at some point. Right. I caught up with my one-time co-host on this show, the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, affectionately known by all of us as Bird, and we had a little chat about what she's been up to.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing, and wider construction industries. Fit
shopthetrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to touch base with gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous Sarah Ann Lucas.
Why are you laughing?
No. Well, because I can see you and they can't, bud.
Very, very rude.
Yeah, no, she's looking lovely, listener. It's an absolute pleasure to speak with Bird. I haven't spoken with Bird for weeks now. And
Nine weeks.
We're in the ninth week of lockdown now. And
we've never gone this long.
No, we haven't. Of course, things are weird anyway, because you 9 weeks ago, you were due to be moving away.
I should be in Africa by now.
And you should be in Africa by now, but you're not. You're in Kent, which is very similar, but not quite the same.
Yeah, no.
So what you've been doing, first of all, in the last 9 weeks, have you been anywhere nice?
I just want to talk to you. I don't want to talk about me. I'm like, tell me about you. And I have been the busiest I have ever been.
Really? Okay, that's cool.
Seriously. I've still got the same structure, I think, because I'm quite the discipline of being an athlete. I've always said this to you, so nothing's really changed much other than, one, I can't leave the house.
Yeah.
Two, now I've really focused on getting this book finished, edited, getting it done, and then onto the next one. So I've literally become self-centered, super focused on one thing, whereas normally I'll come to the radio station, come home, do an hour of the book, do this.
Yeah.
And it's all very disjointed. And then if anything, I've been super productive, super busy on one thing.
Right.
And it has produced a book.
I was going to say, has that focused you? Has that got you where you'd want to be?
I am more advanced in that area than I would have been if we hadn't have had this moment of me being, literally locked down. So, you know, I'd get up, I'd train, I'd come into the office, and that's where I'll stay until, you know, and I've played around with it. Steve and I have played around with it. So do we go out and train at 11 o'clock in the morning? Am I more productive than in the mornings or not? You know, so it's been, but it's that single-minded focus, which everybody says, but life didn't seem to, I don't want to say allow me to be like that, but I would say that, you know, so I'd...
Well, it's true, isn't it? There's lots of distractions in life, isn't there? And you do things and people call you and people go, oh, do you want to come out for coffee? I've got some gossip to tell you and all that kind of stuff. And it all distracts and you don't intend it to, but it does. And one of the things about the lockdown is that all of that's disappeared. It's, you know... It's a weird thing, isn't it? In the early days of lockdown, Sainsbury's failed to deliver our shopping. So I had to go out to the supermarket. And I've never seen anything like it in my 60-odd years on the planet. The place was empty, not the supermarket, the roads. There was no one. It was bizarre. It was silent. You could hear the birds in the middle of the high street. And, you know, so there's been a lot of different things going on, hasn't there? And the lockdown has produced a whole different way of looking at things. And for you, it's enabled you to focus. So where are you with the book? Have you finished? Are you?
I'm on to number two now. You know, simple things like doing all... book writing isn't as simple as just sitting down writing a book and getting it done. It's a real process, and it is a process. It's probably the same as anything that's of worth at the end of it. You go through an absolute love affair, you think you're a genius with it, then you think, oh my God, I'm rubbish, and I'm, you know, what have I got worthy to say? And you get smacked with confidence, and then you think what you've written is a load of rubbish, and you want to cry, and it's all I can say is you've got to practice the practice.
Yeah.
Which is the most stupidest thing to say.
Well, no, but it isn't really, is it? It's like anything. It's always a process of evolution, isn't it? And and I would just, I've never been a writer, so I don't know about writing. But anything else you do, as time unfolds, even if you thought you did it well to start with, new things come along, you think of new ways of doing things. You know, we've often talked about this with the radio show. We've been 12 years now, and we keep saying, you know, we ought to alter the format somehow or other. We ought to grow it in some way. Because, you know, if nothing else, you get bored doing, doing things the same way, and you want to add a bit of zest and a bit of life to what you're doing. So I totally get that. So is the first book published, and can we buy it?
6 weeks' time.
Fantastic. What's it called?
Very exciting. It's called Seeking the Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman.
Blimey.
Don't even say it.
I'm not.
Because, I'll tell you why, it's in a series of five. So you can't say it yet. So there's Seeking, at the minute, I'm just finishing off the interviews, which are 2 hours long with 10 women. So that's 20 hours of interviews. Then you've got to take the research out, put it into trends, then look at that, then absolutely put that into context and how you can relate that to being human and how that relates to people and the reader, how you write it, how you set it up. So all of that takes time, takes time, takes time. So I'm just finishing this Friday, the last interview. So over the last 2 weeks, I've done 10 interviews, 2 hours long. And the way I did it as well, and this is, for me, a massive learning. I started off meeting people and just saying, look, who wants to do an interview with me? I'm looking for 10 women of a decade, an age decade, so the 20s, not 1920s, but their 20 decades.
In their 20s.
The age of 20 and 30s, So say, for example, this. And I started meeting people and having coffees, and that would be time inefficiency. By the time you've driven there, meet them, have a coffee, have a intro, greet, meet, then you'd sit and do 2 hours, then you'd say goodbye, then you travel. So that's a whole day gone. That's not effective of time. And I didn't get, and also I just thought, right, I'm just going to ask a question sort of, and don't even comment on this. What do you know? That was it. You know, what do you know? Tell me your wisdom. And it didn't work. It was too vast. It was too big. It was too not focused enough.
Yeah.
So then I created 21 questions, which really worked really, really well. And I didn't want to...
Can I interrupt you there? With the 21 questions that you did you play around with that a lot? Did you change the questions? Did you write 21 questions and then go, no, I don't want that, I want this?
Well, I think because I'd already played with the interview style in itself, they sort of showed themselves to me. I think I changed about one or two of them. But that was about it. And that surprised me, Paul. I thought I'd have to really put in some groundwork before I found these 21 questions. Mm. What I didn't want was to ask questions that were leading me into, because let's be honest, you and I know that we can ask somebody a question and we can lead them into the direction that we want to take them.
Absolutely.
And we've been doing that a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't want to do that because I do actually want to know what matters to you now and did it matter back then? That's one of the questions. Sure. You know, what matters to you now in your 60 decades, Paul, that didn't matter to you when you're in your 20s? That's quite an interesting space to hold with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so these 21 questions, and here's a really interesting thing that came out for me. Having a Zoom call with them or seeing them personally did not work.
Oh, okay.
It has to be, I know, on the phone, just speaking to them. So all I hear and see are their words, not...
So you don't have a distraction.
Read their body
it.
Language.
Yeah,
you've got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that has taken time to get you to a place. And I don't think people... Definitely Stephen, when he first said, he used to go to me, have you written your words yet? Have you done, how many words have you done today? And you don't understand that all of that takes time.
Yeah.
It takes so much time in getting that point. And now I've even perfected, I just keep tweaking each one. Like now I write out the I've done non-disclosures and I do all of these things now that I didn't start off with in the very beginning, you know, and it just helps more protection and more safety for the in, for the persons who've been interviewed, because they are completely anonymous.
Right.
So therefore their wisdom and their truth is more visible.
Right.
You know, so you are really hearing the truth of a woman, but in the collective of being women, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Can I ask you, in all of that you've done so far with all of this, has any one thing leapt out at you and gone, oh my God, either I didn't think of that, or wow, that's brilliant, or wow, that's weird, or wow, that's insightful? Has any one thing just kind of floored you almost?
Yep.
Yeah. We've got to read the book to find out, haven't we? That's called a teaser.
I want to talk about it with you, because I cannot tell you how fascinating this is. And even my editor, she is like, this book, like the discovery of it, and just how we put it in a handheld book. So normally, I'm showing you because I know you can see, but normally when you've got a book, it's a normal size book with usually between 35,000 and 45,000 words.
Yeah.
This book isn't. It's a handheld book that you can put in your bag that are short, sharp, snappy chapters that I wanted to really, like we do all the time, provoke. And we're very poking the bear. We're quite provocative with our answers. But because I want the truth, I don't want to waste your time. So it has to be a bit different. But all I will say to you is this. Nothing changes.
Okay. It, when you say...
And read into that what you will.
Okay, you're not going to answer me, are you?
I want to when the book is out. So that
I get that.
Look, read this and you'll go, oh my God, I didn't know this. Because else, if I do say that now, what I don't want to do, and I'm just saying this now, I don't want to distort you, the reader, in what I believe.
Yeah.
I want you to read it and go... Well, I didn't hear that from that word, or I didn't hear that from that. So it's that matter of perspective, you know?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you what would be fascinating, and I don't know whether you'd be interested in doing this or not, but it's to ask the same 21 questions of 50-year-old blokes.
Oh, Stephen and I were talking about this. We spoke about this. God, how long have we been doing this project now? Year and a half, 2 years. And this is the thing, when you hear somebody's writing a book, it takes years.
Yeah.
Years to get to writing stage.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this now for 2 years. So all of a sudden, these books will come out now every 6 months. So there'll be a decade out each 6 months. But what you don't see is all the groundwork I've done to it. And Stephen and I were saying, he said, you should ask these 21 questions to men.
Yeah.
To see if... they hear the intention of the question or what they understand. And I would say no. Don't forget, you're very binary.
Right. Well, when you say no, you mean no, you don't want to do it, or no, you don't think it would?
No, I'm going to. I think it's a brilliant idea.
I think it would be fascinating just to see if there's crossover, if there's no crossover, if there's a completely different understanding of the question. Yeah, I think it will be, you know, with the same 21 questions to the same age group of people,
how
will be fascinating just in
I agree with you.
Yeah, all the similarities. Brilliant.
And here's the interesting thing. My publisher and I are just playing with, and we were just talking about it now. When I say play, this is a bit of a game with an editor, because you've got to find somebody that will go with you on your creativity, on your art.
Yeah.
They'll be brave enough to, but also be courageous enough in their own being to go, no, that's not going to work, or no, that's... So I want to start something new, but it needs to be not too new.
Right.
Because you need the reader to come along with you. If I change it, if I go into extreme, you'll go into extreme. So it's got to be a slight tipping point on it. But we're just talking about that now of how, because she was like, oh, how are we going to put the 21 questions and still make it interesting all the way through the 5 decades?
Yeah.
But it is interesting. It's in, if the questions aren't the interesting part, it's the findings
that
are the interesting part.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, I can't wait to read it. As soon as the first one's published, you've got to let us know so that we can, I can buy the book, I'll critique it, and I'll do a critique of it on the radio. I will. I'll do Bird's Book of the Week. What do you reckon?
I love it. And do you know what it's done? I absolutely have fallen in love with writing again, and I'm going to be writing a screenplay of one of the books that I've already written.
Right.
And we're just making it. Do you remember that? Remember I was writing that book, Shall I Help You Pack?
Yeah.
And I wrote 37,000 words.
Yeah.
And then one of the publishers said to me,
they lost their bottle, didn't they?
This is suitable. And it made me lose my bottle, but I'm going to do it. I'm doing it.
Can you not do it as a work of fiction?
You can't. It doesn't matter. Because if somebody can associate themselves with you, then they can sue you.
Sorry, say that again.
If somebody can associate themselves as that role, then they can sue you type of thing. So, I mean, it's a long shot, but, you know what it's like in any risk, in any business. You want to reduce the risk of injury.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing. But, yeah. Anyway, how about you? What are you up to?
Just struggling by like everybody else, really trying to hang in there until something, something gives and we can go back to work. My businesses have been very badly hit.
Of course.
And we're struggling with those. The radio station has been on hold for most of the part. I've been doing my show. A couple of people have also done. We've been doing the shows remotely. As of last week, I went back into the studio, but just on my own.
Did you miss me?
Sorry?
Did you miss me?
Yeah, of course we miss you, Bird.
Just in the studio, though. Isn't it weird doing it by yourself?
No, absolutely. Without a co-host and a co-host that, you gel with, the whole format of the show changes. It becomes a monologue and it's just me talking and me reading emails and me reading tweets. And then I always have two guests still, but they're phone guests. So, there's no conversation.
How has that gone for you with the energy that you've created through a phone guest? Has it changed?
Yeah, people have said to me they're glad that I've continued doing the show because I've been putting out a lot of information on what's available, in terms of the government schemes and all that kind of stuff. But from my own point of view, it's not the same. It's not the same show that we've always done because there's no conversation. There's no general silliness, even. We have a laugh as much as we do doing serious stuff, and without other people in the studio, be they guests and co-hosts, there's no bouncing backwards and forwards. It is very a monologue.
Well, you can read people's behavior, can't you? You can see where they're going to take you a little bit,
whereas
on the phone you miss it.
Exactly. And you've got to be quicker on the phone, and it's very one-dimensional and all the rest of it. We've had some great interviews. You missed a couple. A couple of weeks ago, we had a really fantastic lady who makes cycling helmets.
You said, yeah.
Yeah, and she makes Kevlar helmets, which are incredibly expensive. But wait for this, she makes recyclable helmets. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember that guy we had come in who did recyclable children's playwear from bottles and that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Was it the same principle?
Kind of, but basically, you know as well as I do that a cycle helmet only lasts a certain amount of years before you really need a new one. They manufacture them all in the UK. They got factories in Cornwall and Gloucestershire and Northern Ireland. And this helmet, basically, it lasts 5 years or whatever the life of a helmet is. You then send it back and they crush it and make new helmets out of it.
Now, that is clever.
That's really clever, isn't it? It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I really so missed you during that interview because, of course, you could have asked loads of interesting questions of that. But
And also, when you have an accident as well, like I had a big accident and needed a new helmet. Stephen had an accident about 12 weeks ago, needed a new helmet. So just to even send it back to them and then to smash it down and redo it, that's a great concept.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? Mm. So that's where we've been. It's been, as we start to come out of lockdown, things will improve. We're starting to go back to the studio, but just solo stillness and no other people in the studio. But I think the big thing now is people are starting to lose their discipline. You know, people are going out now and all kinds.
Well, here's what I'm seeing. I think the government still think we're in lockdown, but I think the rest of the world doesn't.
Yeah.
So right. I mean, I'm in Folkestone and it's busier than ever.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some horrific scenes on social media.
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah.
But here's the thing: when you encroach extreme behaviour, it has to go the other way first. It's a seesaw effect before we find balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it will come back to balance.
Yeah, it will. It will. And you're absolutely right. Quick. Yeah, you're absolutely right. We will get there soon. You're right. We're in that phase now where they're starting to unlock it without unleashing it, if you see what I mean. You've got to do it a bit at a time. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Listen, Bert, it's been fabulous talking to you. You're looking really good. We're looking forward to reading
the
book.
You're a devil. You know I'm not. I said, are you videoing me? Have I got to put makeup on? You've got me raw, as we like to call it.
Well, it's been lovely to talk to you, Bird. Stay safe. We'll try and catch up with you again in the next couple of weeks and see how you're doing. Once you publish the book, let us know so we can all rush out and buy it and read it and go from there.
Yeah, I will. Do you want to be interviewed as my... 60-decade man.
It can do, as long as you get on with it quickly. Otherwise, I'll be the 70-decade man.
All right. Yeah. There's an incentive, isn't it?
Stay safe, Bird. We'll see you soon.
Much love.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was lovely, Sarah Ann Lucas, but on a bike who I managed to catch up with a while back, and we recorded an interview talking about all the stuff she's doing on her book and loads of other stuff, as you heard. It was good to catch up with her. I've still got tweets coming in. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at the Business Diaries, and they said, oh, did someone say a shout out? Yes, please. We've published a new podcast. It's a lovely story told by Emma Rourke about Sergio the horse and how valuable equine assisted learning can be. Also, the fab Bev Bunn has a fun video out on our Facebook page all about DIY haircuts. Cool. So do check that out. I think it's Podbean is where the five or six, what are you up to now? Six podcasts are, and their Facebook page, which is the Business Diaries Facebook page, where you can find out about Beverly Bunn's DIY haircuts, which will be brilliant. What else have we got here? I've got a tweet from Charity Buddy that just says hello. Well, hello, give them a follow, charity_buddy. Do check them out and give them a follow. And I've had a tweet from David Dadswell as well. He said, can we have a Business Bunker shout out, please, for Broad Signs? We're busy making all the COVID secure signage for local businesses. Yeah, absolutely, David. Do give David a follow on the Twitter, David Dadswell, DADSWELL, David Dadswell, all one word. Do check that out. Lots of us that own businesses are obviously having to tape them up and put signage up and do all kinds of things to try and keep our premises safe and, more importantly, to keep our people safe. Best Business Events have tweeted, bring your marketing into this decade, the six keys to a modern marketing strategy live. Modernising your marketing can feel like a daunting task, but with the right plan, it can be simple and straightforward. Wednesday the 10th of June, 11 till 12:30. It's an online marketing workshop. If you go to bitesizeonline.co.uk, you can find out all about it. That's bitesizeonline.co.uk. Telcare, the lovely telecommunications company over there on the Rochester Medway City Estate. It's Business Bunker, and we're listening. Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us. What else have we got? Vanilla Web. I'm Vanilla Web. Venom Tech are listening in, which is great news. They were having a bit of a problem earlier, but they've managed to get hold of us, which is fantastic. I'm just scrolling through my tweets to see what else we've got here. Little Stour Orchard have said hello. Romney Resource Centre said hello. Alison Palmer has said she's looking forward to talking to us shortly, which she will be doing, and we're looking forward to talking to Alison very shortly. So lots of things happening. Anyway, I'll catch up with some of the tweets in a minute. Let me read you another one of my emails. I'll try and find one that's not too long. The Kenwood Trust is still open. COVID-19 has proved to be an incredibly challenging time for the addiction rehabilitation sector, with community services having to limit face-to-face meetings where possible and lockdown forcing residential units to rethink their admissions process all close together. However, the Kenwood Trust, a residential alcohol and drug rehabilitation centre based in Yalding, Kent, are proud to say that we are still open and taking admissions. So, fantastic. That's really great news. They do a fantastic job there, and they really do deserve a lot of our respect because they've had to struggle through this, providing really essential services. But we're going to join the newsroom now, and then when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to be talking to Alison Palmer from the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway. So let's join the Channel Radio newsroom, and we'll talk to you later.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker